So hey y'all, happy to have you here. We're gonna talk about repair in Apache Cassandra. And if my remote actually works. Yeah, so a little bit of me. I'm Alex, my name is way too complicated for me to spell it entirely. I'm a consultant at The Last Pickle, and as my name does not suggest, I am French. And I'm a DataStax MVP for Apache Cassandra. The Last Pickle, quickly, we help you be awesome with Cassandra, and then we leave. So we are experts on Apache Cassandra. We have people in 5 countries, and I'm the French guy. So let's talk about repair. So what is repair? So it's a maintenance operation that restores strong consistency throughout the cluster. So imagine you have entropy in distributed systems. So slowly they drift away because for availability needs, you only require a few replicas to actually acknowledge writes. So you can have some replicas not having the actual data. And it helps recover from downtime. So why do we need repair? Because Cassandra is an eventually consistent system to allow for downtimes, failure recovery, and we need it too for safe deletes. So it's usually advised to actually run repair on a regular basis for tombstones, mostly. So tombstones is the way that Apache Cassandra perform deletes. So there's no read before write in Cassandra. So each time you try to delete something, you're actually writing something, something that says that data has been deleted. And data goes away when compactions actually processes both the tombstone and the data it shadows. If you look into the best practices, people are going to tell you, you must repair within GC Grace seconds. GC Grace seconds is the time that a tombstone must leave before it actually can be deleted. By default, it's 10 days. You're on time, you can get in. Feel free to sit. You're not on the picture though. So how can data actually come back to life? Imagine we have a small cluster of 3 nodes. Then a write is performed. Write goes correctly to all 3 replicas. And then a delete is performed, but actually reaches 2 replicas. Since you're using Quorum, which you should be using because it is strong consistency, but also allows you to actually have downtime of some nodes. Then you can get into that state where the tombstone exists on 2 nodes and not the 3rd one. Then compaction kicks in after GC Grace second. Data and tombstone disappear from node 1 and 2. And you're left with only your copy of the data and no more tombstone. And then you run repair. Bam! Data reappears everywhere. That's actually what we call zombie data in Apache Cassandra. If we had run repair, then the tombstone would have been copied on node 3, and we wouldn't get into that situation. So, full repair. How does anti-entropy repair work? So, it will read all of your data, like all data on disk, which is called a validation compaction. So, this is a compaction, but without the output. Like, we're not writing things. We are reading everything to calculate hashes. Hashes, but the room is getting packed. Like, that's awesome. Yeah, I'm gonna take that picture if no one leaves in between. So it calculates hashes from those validation compactions in the form of Merkle trees, like hash trees. Then it compares hashes. Obviously, we're not comparing like all data between all replicas, so we need a fast way to actually see if we have entropy. So it compares the Merkle trees and then streams mismatching partitions. Okay, who's using Cassandra in production? Yeah. Okay. You had one question. Yeah.
No question. So that hash, is it done at the SS table level or on a range of keys?
I'm going to get to that. So this is what a Merkle tree looks like. And I'm going to get to that after. So at most, you're going to have 32,000 leaves in a Merkle tree, okay? Just to limit its size. Let's go to how it works. So the replica on which the repair process is initiated will ask the other replicas to compute their Merkle trees. The validation compactions reads all SS tables for relevant tokens. So if you are using VNodes, we'll get to that, you may have like 256 VNodes on each node, which is the default recommended value. You should use 32 instead, because 256 is too much. Like, it makes actually repair last longer. So it will read, like, you'll have one session per VNode, so per token range. So if you have 256 VNodes, then each repair job will have 256 sessions, okay? It will read each and compute as many Merkle trees. And this is done sequentially, okay? So one VNode after the other. So here we are reading all SS tables, but only for specific token ranges, and computing the Merkle tree. Then they are compared, and leaves that aren't matching are streamed, like the whole partition, okay? The whole group of partition. We'll get to that right after. So how do we run repair? Node tool is the tool, the command line tool to do most of the things you have to do as an operator with Cassandra. So node tool repair. If you run node tool repair on all nodes, you're going to be repairing all token ranges on that node, like primary ranges, but also replicas. So let's say we have this cluster. I run node tool repair on node 1. I'm going to repair token ranges A, B, and C. And then I move on to node 2, but I've already repaired B and C, but I'm going to repair those ranges once again, and so on. So this is over repair. Instead, what we want to do is actually repair each token range just once, because that's enough. So how do you do this? You run node tool repair -PR, which means primary range. So all replicas are kind of equals, but some nodes are the primary nodes on some ranges. Okay, that's just useful for that specific case, because even if you lose the primary node, then it doesn't care. You still have two replicas and you replace it and you'll have a new primary. But in that case, it helps us repair only once each token range and not as many times as you have replicas. So this is obviously not suitable for node recovery, because you have to repair the replicas too. So if a node goes down for more than the hint window, you'll have to run repair. Okay? If you do that, you'll want to get the ranges that that node is replica for too. So do not run node tool repair -PR on that node. Run just node tool repair. Okay, you have two main flavors of repairs, sequential or parallel. So sequential takes a snapshot on all replicas so that you'll have the data that, like, you'll compare data at the exact same time, but you won't compute Merkle trees on all nodes at the same time. So it takes a snapshot on all nodes, then only computes Merkle trees one node at a time, so that you still have two replicas not working, and that can meet your latency SLAs. Okay. Then you have parallel. It doesn't take a snapshot, and it will compute Merkle trees on all nodes at the same time, like all replicas at the same time. This could not match your SLA requirements, because that's expensive. Sequential repair is the default since Cassandra 2.0. So if your repair is too slow and your node have capacity, you can go faster by using parallel repairs. So node tool repair, dash par, and dash PR, of course. Overstreaming, we've been talking about that. You have at most 32,000 leaves in your Merkle trees, which means that each leaf will contain a lot, maybe a lot of partitions. Okay, hopefully you have more than 32K partitions in your tables, I hope so. And the problem here is that there's no other comparison than the Merkle tree. So if you have one difference in one row, then all the partitions that share that leaf will be streamed fully. Imagine you have like, for example, you shouldn't have 8 terabytes per node, guys. No more than 2 terabytes. We don't like dense nodes, but you picture the thing. Like you have one slight difference and you start to stream like gigabytes of data, if not more. So that's overstreaming. The solution to overstreaming is to split repair in some discrete steps, actually. So you have two main options for that that run what we call sub-range repair. So you don't have to repair a full token range. As long as you specify tokens that are within a token range, you can run sub-range repairs. So there's a script initially written by Matt Stump and then maintained by Brian Gallu. That's called Cassandra Range Repair. You'll find it on GitHub that breaks the repair session in n steps. So that's the script, that's command line. It's up to you to actually run it across the cluster. And then there's Cassandra Reaper, which is a tool initially written by Spotify. That is a full orchestration tool for repairs, and it has sub-range repair support. I'll get back to Reaper a bit later in these slides. So as I said, vNodes are kind of a solution because you have a lot of token ranges maybe in your node, so it already splits your repair jobs into the number of vNodes you have. But if you have too many vNodes, you'll have too many steps, and each time it reads all data on disk, so that takes a long time. This is why we usually advise to have 32 vNodes per node. The drawback, as I said, many vNodes repair takes longer. So this is theory. How's repair in the real world? Like that thing you have to run to have a healthy cluster. So in the beginning, your cluster is like this pack of puppies. Like it's everything works fine, repair is fast, you want to cover your nodes, like you're just happy. And maybe like I did, you just run node tool repair on all nodes at the same time and think you nailed it. I've been there, really. And at the beginning, it worked just fine. And then your cluster grows up. And as nodes get higher in density, and Carlos, you shouldn't go to 8 terabytes per node, repair takes... And repair takes longer and longer and longer. And that dog doesn't want to get out. Yeah, it's over. So that was me actually waiting for repair to end once we got at full load. And as time goes by, latencies actually rise as repair is both CPU and I/O intensive until it breaks your cluster. And you're like Paul Dawson crying, what happened? It worked until then, and now everything is broken. So how can it break? Load gets too high because you have dense nodes, you run node tool repair on all nodes at the same time, all the replicas, and you don't meet your latency SLAs anymore. And that's the best case, actually. Because what can happen too is load gets too high, streams get stuck, and out of nowhere, like that happened to me like 10 times, all nodes start to like consume all your CPUs for whatever reason, and you have to roll restart the whole cluster because everything is broken. You've been there, right? So the fun part is that you have to run repair to recover from your repair outage. And yes, you want to die. So you realize at that point that you need some orchestration. Like, not everyone can dance at the same time, okay? So repair mustn't run like that on all nodes at the same time, right? It mustn't. You have two main tools to orchestrate repairs. So if you're a DSE user, meaning Data Stacks Enterprise, you have OpsCenter. OpsCenter has a repair service, but that's not the topic. The other one, the open source one, would be Cassandra Reaper. So initially it was created by Spotify, but we at the Last Pico forked it and are now maintaining it because Spotify is using Cassandra 2.0. They're not interested in, it seems, to support features that aren't in 2.0. So the basic, like the initial repo, doesn't support 2.1, 2.2, 3.x, etc. So we added a bunch of features, and now we have a hard fork that we actively maintain. So a Reaper performs sub-brand repair. If we have some time at the end, I'll make you a quick demo of Reaper. It limits repair pressure. Okay, so you can adjust how much pressure the repair will put on your cluster. So the time it spends repairing and the time it spends taking a break from repair. So you have a ratio for that. It retries failed sessions, which Node 2 repair doesn't, if your repair fails. And it's hard actually to track what's going on when you run Node 2 repair. Like, try to read those logs, guys. It's impossible. And you have a scheduler, and if you don't even want to bother yourself with scheduling, it can auto-schedule all new key space that is created with its own repair job. That's good for managed service when you don't want to spend time like configuring repair for all the key spaces you have. And it optimizes cluster load, so it checks which nodes are actually performing repairs and doesn't run a new repair token range that lives on one of those nodes. And it also checks for pending compactions, because you can have a lot of SS tables streamed during repair, which will create a lot of pending compactions, which is very bad, actually. So it will stop waiting for nodes to catch up and then start again repairing. So this is the UI. Not that sexy, okay, but it exists. It's nice to have one. If you guys want to contribute, then you're welcome. React.js, and I'm not a web developer, so this was a contribution from Stefan Podkowinski to the origin project. Upcoming features for Reaper: full support for multi-region cluster and fault tolerance. So right now, you can only run one instance of Reaper. If it dies, your repair won't run anymore. And we have a problem with multi-region cluster. So Reaper uses JMX to actually run repair jobs, which is what Node 2 does, okay? But if you have, say, a multi-region data cluster in AWS, your cross-region communications go over the internet. You do not want to open your JMX port over the internet. You can do mostly anything with the JMX port. So this will be closed, okay? So with your private IPs within each data center, each region, you can communicate on all ports, which is okay, and JMX too. But JMX cannot go through the cross-region link. So what we are doing here is using a Cassandra backend for Reaper, like all data of Reaper is stored in Cassandra, we can get that communication through the tables, use lightweight transactions to actually have a leader election on segments being token ranges, so that we are sure that each instance is responsible for one segment. If it dies, then another one will step in and take that segment. And so we can have cross-region coordination in Reaper. So this is a branch, like we've been working on this a bit with our friends at Netflix, and we hope to stabilize it. If you want to try, and if you have that need, feel free to go to the GitHub. So incremental repair. At some point, some smart guys thought that it would be nice to stop repairing things that's already repaired, which is relevant. So in 2.1, Cassandra introduced incremental repair. And since 2.2, it's the default repair mode. How does it work? So first repair, it's going to read all SS tables. Now SS tables have a new property, which is repair that, the time at which it has been repaired. When you run your second repair, it will skip the SS tables that have already been repaired and just repair the new SS tables. Okay, that's smart. Like, you only repair a subset of the data. That's much faster. You don't do it over and over again. But incremental repair comes with anti-compaction. So you cannot mix, obviously, unrepaired data and repaired data in the same SS table. Okay? You have to split them apart in different SS tables. So each time you repair a token range, then you have to run anti-compaction, like read that SS table, put in another SS table what's been repaired, and in yet another SS table what hasn't been repaired. And there's just an optimization if you look at the end. Like, if the whole SS table is contained within that repair job, then it will just change the property value and not run anti-compaction. Anti-compaction is actually very expensive. So if you run repair on all sessions, on all token ranges on the same node, you have that optimization, okay? But that won't work for the other replicas, because other replicas might not share all the tokens of your node, so you have anti-compaction that will run on those nodes. So incremental repair looks awesome, right? You see it coming? So that was me before thinking I would solve all my problems with incremental repair. So one guy told me, I don't see why it wouldn't work. He's okay, by the way. Had him on the phone. He's fine. So you must carefully prepare your switch to incremental repair. Okay? Do not run no-tool repair dash inc straight away. Like, you would have like all your data unrepaired, and you would go into anti-compaction hell. Like, this could like even not succeed. So you have to actually run a full repair, if you can, and then mock all your SS tables as repair. And only then can you start running incremental repair, because you do not want to run incremental repair on a lot of unrepaired data. That doesn't work.
It's even better, 3.0. So when you run no-tool repair, it's automatically incremental.
I'll get to that right after. So as you've seen, starting 2.2, the default is incremental repair. So if you upgrade from 2.1 to 2.2 and still run no-tool repair, it's not the same kind of repair, okay? So it doesn't handle missing or corrupted data that was already repaired, okay? Both from the validation compaction point of view, missing data and repaired data is the same. It won't read it, okay? So if you repair your data, then delete one SS table or lose one SS table, it's just like incremental repair skipping SS tables, okay? So you do not run incremental repair to recover from that kind of outage, like data loss. It splits SS tables in two different sets that cannot be compacted together. So you have repaired tables, sorry for the image. You have a repaired table, unrepaired table, they won't get compacted together. So if you have tombstones in one state, like repaired, and data in another state, unrepaired, they won't get compacted together. You won't actually purge data. So I skip to the next because this is disturbing. It's incompatible with subrange repair. So if you run subrange repair, it won't run anti-compaction. Okay, you cannot run incremental repair with subrange repair. It doesn't like concurrency very much. Like, you cannot run incremental repair on two nodes at the same time in the same cluster. Why? Because you'll get a shitload of that kind of message in the logs. So fail to create a Merkle tree, okay, then you go and see this. Cannot stop multiple repair sessions over the same SS tables. What happens is that you cannot run both anti-compaction and validation compaction on the same SS table at once. So if anti-compaction is running, you try to run another repair session, it will read the same SS table and it will fail because you're trying to run some kind of compaction on an SS table that is being anti-compacted. So you can only run incremental repair one node at a time. You have to wait for anti-compaction to be over until you move to the next node. And this is by design, okay? There are very good reasons for that, actually. So, picture taken, good. By the way, I will share the slides afterwards on my Twitter account. I've left on that chair a few stickers if you want to have a laptop that looks cool, and some business cards, so feel free to take them. So you cannot run -PR with incremental repair. It's useless because the data has already been repaired. So we don't have the problem we had with full repair where we are over-repairing data because it's been repaired on the first node, it's going to be skipped on the second one because S table will be marked as repair. And there's some strange design choice that makes that anti-compaction is partially disabled with -PR. So if you run incremental repair with -PR on all your cluster, you'll still have data that is marked as unrepaired. The guys say this is supposed to work that way, I don't get it, but still. So, a few disturbing bugs with incremental repair. So this one can mark too many ranges as repaired. So it's been fixed in the versions that you have here. So if you're running incremental repair with lower version, then you might get into that. So if an SS table gets flushed while a repair process is running, incremental repair process is running, then it might hold some tokens that have already been repaired, but it will still get marked as repaired, like the whole SS table, at the end of the repair session, like repair session when all vnodes will have been repaired, okay? So you can mark data as being repaired on some nodes while it's not, okay? Another one, which is disturbing too, you can have reappearing data, like zombie data, if you mix incremental repair with full repair. Okay, just making it short, you can actually get into a state where your tombstone is marked as repair, but not the data, and then and that just on one node, but not the other nodes, and then you'll go into that zombie problem all over again. You can read the ticket if you want, but that's quite complex to understand. And just know that it's actually fixed in version that aren't out yet, like 3.0.13, I think, is out. 2.2.10, 3.11, and 4.0 aren't actually out. You have another problem that will get fixed in 4.0, which is that streaming SS table are marked as repaired straight away. So if Cassandra performs streaming, then anti-compaction fails. You'll have streaming SS table marked as repaired, but anti-compaction won't have marked data has repaired on the source nodes. So once again, you'll have some consistency issues in the repair status. And this one is actually the one I hate the most. And when we've been testing this with my friend Nenad right here from SmartCat, we ran into that, especially with leveled compaction. Okay, so if an SS table gets compacted before it has a chance to be anti-compacted, then it won't get anti-compacted because it's another, a different SS table. So you have to, so then, like I said, since we stream data with the repaired status, like with a repaired add value, you'll have data that is marked as repaired on some nodes and not the rest. On the next repair run, you'll have Cassandra will think that a huge amount of data is actually missing and will start streaming loads of data all over again. And this should be fixed in 4.0. So the fix would be to actually prevent SS tables that are being repaired from being compacted. Okay, so they will be in a transient state, which would be under repair. And when the repair ends, it will get anti-compacted and then will be eligible for being compacted all over again. So, but that's still a work in progress. So incremental repair will not fix a poor repair strategy. Okay, you've seen it. You cannot. You need orchestration. Like you cannot run incremental repair on all nodes at the same time. It will not prevent you from having to run full repair. So if you have problems running full repair, like it doesn't finishes in an acceptable time, at some point you'll have to run full repair. So incremental repair is just a patch for that. Reaper does support incremental repair, so I invite you to go to our GitHub repo and you'll find it in the favorite projects. So it doesn't perform sub-range repair. It creates a fake segment so that we have one segment per node, and below it will just run one repair session per node and one at a time. So a single repair thread to avoid concurrency. So how to make repair work? Put your repair strategy in place from day one. Don't wait until it's too late to try this. Like you have to start early. Like don't think, yeah, repair, we'll see that in a year. For now it's working fine, we don't need repair. Follow the changes between versions. So node tool repair in 2.1 means full sequential repair, but starting 2.2, it's incremental parallel repair. Quite not the same thing. If you want to run a sequential repair, a full sequential repair in 2.2 and 3.x, this is what you have to run. So if you rely on node tool repair, make sure you check the changes before you upgrade. Use appropriate tooling or build your own if you want. Cassandra Range Repair, Reaper are tools of choice to do that based on best practices. Spread your repair over a GCGrace second cycle. Like you don't have to repair on Monday everything, okay? You can split your repair by key spaces, by tables, and spread that over a... You must repair at least your tables within the GCGrace seconds. This is 10 days by default. Quick hint, if you set GCGrace seconds to zero, you will disable hints. Hints are the only way to actually not have to run repair each time a node goes down, because the default is 3 hours. If your node goes down for less than 3 hours, the other nodes will store hints. Hints are just replaying the mutations once the node comes back up, okay? But to prevent hints from creating zombie data, once again, if you go below the hint window with GCGrace seconds, then it will change the value of the hint window. And at zero, you have no hints. So if node goes down, if a node goes down, it won't get the data until you repair. Adjust repair pressure on your cluster, okay? You don't want to end up like this guy, or lady, I don't know. Whatever, like you don't want to crush your cluster with the repair pressure. Do not repair everything, maybe. Like if you have locked tables, things like that, expandable data, don't repair those data. If you have very short TTLs, like data that lives 1 day, 2 days, stuff like that, like less than GCGrace seconds, then you don't care. Don't repair unless you have an actual outage and need to run repair. So, and pick tables with deletes, because you've seen the zombie data explanation. A little bit of philosophy: if all data is critical, then maybe none is. Just all data cannot be critical. Sometimes you're just storing data for sampling or logs. Some data can be expandable, so don't try to repair those. If you run incremental repair, be tight on your schedule, okay? You don't want to have a lot of data to anti-compact, and you don't want to have tombstones living in unrepaired state for too long. Otherwise, you won't get your actual purge and reclaim your disk space. Avoid concurrency with incrimpair. That's one node at a time. Don't even try on any version of Cassandra to run node repair incremental on more than one node at a time. It will fail. In Cassandra 2.2 and 3.x, full repair performs anti-compactions. Yeah. Awesome, right? So only sub-range repair will prevent anti-compaction to run. Picture taken. And maybe, as I told you, you should wait for 4.0 before moving to incremental repair. If you have like level compaction, like just give up on incremental repair. That won't work. Like you will have maybe 10% of your data that is marked as repair, and you'll have to run like things that actually take longer than a full repair each time you run incremental repair. Yeah, Nenad, huh? You're nodding. We've been there. So maybe incremental repair is not fully ready, especially for high write traffic. So 4.0 might be the point where incremental repair is actually ready for all cases. And that's it. And maybe we have time for a quick demo. How much time do I have left? Like, that would be 10 minutes.
Yep.
Awesome. Demo? Want to see Reaper running?
Yeah,
we do. Okay.
Don't run repair on materialized views.
Don't run repair. Don't use materialized views.
Don't run repair.
Yeah, not the topic of that talk, but yeah, not quite ready. So, yes. I'm going to run a quick demo. It's going to be quick. You're going to get to ask questions. Do you guys know CCM? Yes, we do. Cassandra Cluster Manager. So this allows you to create actual clusters on your laptop, like with as many nodes as your laptop can handle, and multiple data centers, stuff like that. So here I have a 3-node cluster running Cassandra 3.0.8. So it's just PIP install CCM, and then you're good to go. So I have 3 nodes up. I'm going to run Reaper. It's just a Java jar, like a fat jar, java-jar, my Reaper jar server, and my YAML config. It's a REST server, so you can interact it with REST or with a command line tool that is shipped or through the UI. And we're going to want to go through the UI. So here I'm just adding my cluster with one seed node. It will discover the topology and get all seed nodes from that. So bam, I have my cluster. Then I want to run repair. I have a key space called Booyah. I can run it on specific tables or all the tables of the key space. The owner is me. I can specify the number of sub-ranges that I want to run it on. So if I want, like, say, 1,000 sub-ranges, I just put this. I can set my parallelities. Too hard to say. You understand sequential, parallel. I can do that here. And repair intensity is what ratio of the time will it be performing repairs and pausing. So if I want my nodes to be actually only performing repair 50% of the time, I will set it to 0.5, I guess. Yeah, that would be 0.5, hopefully. And I don't want to run incremental repair. So here, yeah, that was 1,002. Like, it has to actually have valid token ranges, so it's going to be more or less the value you've set it to. And then I can activate my repair job. It's starting. each segment will be processed individually. I can pause or stop the repair process at any time, okay? So currently it's running, telling me it is repairing that segment. I'm gonna see the progress bar progressing here. I can check the logs. Yeah, it tells me it's running segments, etc. So fairly simple. You have a clear view of what's the status of your repair, like has it processed like 50% of your tokens or just 10% or whatever. You can stop it anytime. So stop actually kills the repair process, and I can resume it afterwards. So it will start from the beginning for that segment. You cannot like resume on a specific segment. But at least I know that if I have a problem on the nodes and I want to stop repair right away, I can do this. If then things come back to a healthy state, then I can resume from where I left off before. Okay, so let's abort this one. And I have a scheduler. So I can say I want to repair my Booyah key space. That's still me. And I want to do this. Yeah, we have a fancy date picker. Awesome. It's gonna stop. Let's do this. And I want to run it every 10 days as scheduled. That's it. So the next run will be in 12 hours, and then every 10 days it will run automatically that repair job using best practices. And yes, there's a command line, there's REST, you name it, it does it, okay? We have different backends now, like you can store your data in Cassandra, in H2, in Postgres, and lots of good stuff coming. So maybe now we have a few minutes for Q&A. Anuj, that's it.
So you said that we should have 32 V-nodes instead of 256, right?
Yeah.
So what is the reason behind that? Because don't you think that would cause overstreaming? If you have lesser V-nodes, you would be doing that process less the scanning of entire SS tables. But at the same time, you may cause, if there are data mismatches, you have bigger leaf nodes in vertical trees, which may cause overstreaming.
I think 32 vNodes is already, like 32 sessions per node is already enough to limit the overstreaming impact. If you need to get more, then you have the opportunity, okay? With Reaper, you can set it to run 100 splits per node. So you can still do that anyway. But you don't have to. If you have 256 vNodes, you cannot run less splits, actually. So it takes a fairly long time, okay? So you have to, it's a compromise between the cost of overstreaming and the cost of actually running 256 repair sessions per node, okay?
So assuming that, assuming a MPPAS scenario, so it is an acceptable thing as per you, because overstreaming will only happen when there is a mismatch, but that is not a usual scenario. In regular scenario, most of the time you will save time in scanning less ranges.
Yes.
So that is the reason.
Yeah.
And have you observed huge SS table spike when incremental repair is going on? Because we have such
issues. Yes. With DTCS precisely, so like.
In fact, DTCS and LCS, we are going
to. LCS, LCS too, yeah, because. So streamed SS tables all go to level zero. With LCS, so it has to get recompacted, so you can have a lot of very small SS tables actually getting streamed. And that's why Reaper waits for compaction to catch up before moving on. Otherwise, you're going to have tons of pending compactions, and that's heavy, actually, because you're going to be reading from a lot of SS tables each time you perform a read.
Yeah, we have seen 1 lakh SS tables also. Just a spike comes, and then there are tiny tables created, and then
yeah, we've seen that.
So
yeah.
You observe such things in your cluster also?
Yeah, we do. And we've had that problem recently due to the incremental repair bugs that I mentioned with DTCS, where data wasn't marked consistently as repaired. So each time the customer actually ran repairs. It was streaming a lot of data, and it had this problem where it created like 2,000 SS tables on one node, and that's very bad actually with TWCS and DTCS to have a lot of SS tables, because there are internal things that Cassandra does trying to compare SS tables to find overlaps in timestamps and tokens, which can get very expensive if you have a lot of SS tables. So we have observed that. 5 minutes. Yes.
Yes, sir. So what are your thoughts if you have kind of append-only tables, like, you know, where you only append data, no deletes, no updates? Like, what's the strategy for repair on that kind of a scenario?
So TTL data.
TTL data, yes.
No deletes. I'd say it's less necessary. It depends. Like, you have things like bootstraps. If you want to, okay, that's a bit specific, but if you want to bootstrap multiple nodes at the same time, okay, you cannot do it by default, okay? Cassandra will prevent it. It will allow only one node to bootstrap at once, unless you actually disable that safeguard by you turning consistent range movement to false. So consistent range movement means during a bootstrap, I will stream from the node I'm replacing, okay? So if that node doesn't have the data, then I, as the new owner, won't have the data, but the other replicas will still have it, okay? You can have that at quorum, you can have one node not having the data. If you turn off consistent range movement, you can have another node streaming, but you're replacing yet another node, okay? So if the node you stream from doesn't have the data, and then you replace a node that has the data, then you'll get only one replica left in your cluster when you had two before bootstrapping. So if you had run repair regularly on this, you would still have your two replicas. But that's a specific case. I'd say great answer is it depends. Sorry. But mostly, like, if you have problems running repairs, this is the kind of tables where you won't run repair unless you have an outage, you lose a node, you lose a disk, something like that.
So you mentioned several defects related to incremental repair, right? So basically, recently we did an evaluation of incremental repair on 2.1.16, which is almost latest.
Yeah.
2.1 release. So either the defects were relevant for 2.2, or they were not serious in respect of criticality, right? There was no data loss kind of thing, and it was just leading to overstreaming.
So you have no data loss. The problem you might have is a repair status is inconsistent, so the next time you run repair, then it will stream a lot of data.
Yeah, but that anyways happens with full repair, right? Even if you go for full repair or anything.
No, because
PR I can understand, yeah.
No, because you'll have full chunks, like big chunks of data, mm-hmm. that will appear to be missing from some nodes, but not the other one. Okay, so you'll have a lot of partitions that actually Cassandra think aren't consistent, like more than with the overstreaming you get with full repair.
But that happens when
1 minute.
Yeah, compaction is running and then simultaneously repair is running, then few tables are left and marked as.
You can read the. I understand your concern. I would love to tell you just go with the incremental repair. It rocks. It's awesome, and I know it fixes a lot of problems. Like, you want to run repair faster. The sad truth is that you still have this kind of problem, and when that happens, you'll go into actual performance problems. I need to make a picture, Nanad. You don't move because there are more people than at the beginning. Thank you. And so you can run incremental repair. People do, but you must understand what are the trade-offs and the problems that might arise. You won't lose data, okay, if that's what you're concerned with, but you might run into performance problems due to that consistency in the repaired at status.
So still, the most of the time you will gain something, but
we're going to talk outside. Thank you, guys. Okay.